Pray no matter what. We pray. And praise the Lord for the wonderful privilege we have to do that. We don't have to go through anybody else. We can go straight to Him. Amen. So praise God for that. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll commence our message for this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank You and praise You for the privilege of prayer. And we do thank You, Lord, for the wonderful opportunity we get to gather together. We pray that the Holy Spirit would minister Your truth to our hearts and minds and spirits today, that we be encouraged by Your word, and Lord, that we look to You, Lord, for all our needs and all our supply. Father, we just praise You and thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of things. Remember those who are away today, you know, especially those who are traveling and those who are overseas. It'd be pretty tough for them at the moment, but uphold them in prayer, and also, you know, our church, uphold that in prayer as well. Just on one note, that I don't know if you know, but there is a bill before Parliament at the moment where it was going to give the websites, Google, Twitter and all those sort of things, the right to censor whatever they feel is not encouraging to other people. So that means, you know, any messages we preach or anything, they can just stop them immediately. That's a bill before Parliament. It's going to give them the freedom of choice to censor anything they like. And you can guarantee the first thing they'll censor is the Word of God, especially the truth of it. The rubbish will run through. So be in prayer for that. I'm not sure when it's about to happen, but it's not too far away. So a lot of independent Baptist churches are signing a petition to stop that. And look, we just look to the Lord and we know He's in control of all things. All right, we're going to be starting a series of messages out of the book of Galatians. We're going to have a look at this wonderful book. And the series will be You and Your Faith. And we're going to be looking at the true gospel this morning. And the book of Galatians, written around about 60 AD, many have labelled it the firebrand epistle because it thunders out the truth that salvation is not found in the law, but in the grace of God and in the grace of God only. You see, the law and the gospel do not keep company. The law and the gospel do not walk together because they are not agreed. They are as far apart as the east is from the west. They are far apart as life is from death. You see, the law is a ministry of death. The gospel is the ministry of life. And God thundered out the law, the soul that sinneth shall die. But the gospel rings out from Christ. He gave Himself for our sins, Galatians 1:4. The law commands do, the gospel proclaims receive. We'll read our text again this morning so we get it into our hearts and minds. Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, Paul, an apostle, he says there. He noticed how he introduces himself. Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. You know that today there are too many preachers, too many evangelists, too many ministers who are apostles of men. They've been called by men. They've been sent by men. The message they preach is to please men and not God. We have today ministers preaching philosophies and psychologies of man and not the truth of God's word. And the church today has become a seeker-sensitive church opposed to seeking God and His truth. You see, psychology teaches the answer to personal problems lays back in your past somewhere. But the Bible deals with today. We're told to take no thought for tomorrow. Today is the day that we're to live in. You see, God can command us to stop being anxious. He can command us to stop being fearful, to stop being angry, and He can command it for us to do it now, immediately, without looking for the cause in some childhood experiences that we had. Psychology teaches that we have the answers to life within ourselves, and we just need help discovering the answers. And the Bible says the answers for life are within its pages as revealed by God in Christ. And Jesus, He claims to be the only way, truth, and life. Now, the past in some way may shape us what we are today, but real change is found as we choose to live obediently to God. You see, psychology is a method. Theology is the study of God. Psychology will keep you in bondage, whereas the study of God will set you free. Now, Paul wanted to make it clear that he did not receive his apostleship from other apostles, but from Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He wasn't sent out by man to please man. He was ordained by the Lord Himself to preach the truth of the gospel. And notice in verse 2 and 3, "And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." We see here there's some other Christians with Paul. They're the ones who are one with him in his presentation of the true gospel compared to those who were preaching a counterfeit gospel. Now, these churches in Galatia, notice it says churches, not just one church. Galatia comprised, there was a Roman province. It included Antioch and Iconium, Lystra and Derbe. These churches had become weak. In fact, they had become changeable. They needed the truth. They needed the uncompromising truth Paul was giving them concerning God's grace. You see, we hear the word grace preached in our church, and it should be preached. And anyone in a church that does not preach the grace of God, any church that teaches you some man in a box can forgive your sins, you need to change your church. Any church that teaches you that the gospel is only for certain people, you need to change your church. The Bible tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, God delivered up His Son to pay the sin debt with His own precious blood, and God purchased the New Testament church, the bride of Christ, with His own blood, and the cost is unimaginable. How precious should the gospel of grace be to the believer? You know, what is a Christian? Well, one who accepts Christ, who has the living Christ within them, who has the indwelling Holy Spirit. A Christian is one who has died with Christ and risen to a newness of life. It is a life of being, not behaving. Now, I'm not preaching a license to sin. I'm talking about what true salvation is. It's not something external. Salvation is internal. The error today is that Christianity is a matter of how one conducts themselves instead of being Christ-controlled. Listen, if you're Christ-controlled, you'll know what to do, when to do it, and that will bring glory to God. But if you're in control by your own works and your own self-righteousness, it brings nothing, no glory to God at all. One leads to bondage, the other to freedom and liberty. You know, grace is not a license to sin. It's the all-sufficiency we have in Christ for the answer to life's problems, minus our own self-effort and wisdom. Our first point this morning is the truth of the gospel, verses 4 and 5. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, the channel of God's grace is the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself willingly on the cross for our sins. The purpose of God's grace is to deliver us, the poor, lost sinner, the hell-deserving sinner, from this present evil world. See, this world we live in runs under a world system that 1 John 5 tells us lies in wickedness. And the purpose of God's grace is to deliver us from the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's the devil's scheme. That's his agenda, is to blind people to the truth of the gospel. If it wasn't for God's grace, people would be lost eternally. We all would be. You see, the source of God's grace is in the sovereign will and purpose of God, as so it tells us there, according to the will of God and our Father. Hebrews 2:9 tells us, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Listen, there is not one person whom Christ did not die for. Not one. Any gospel preaching that tells you that's not the case, you need to keep away from it. The reason for God's grace is to bring glory and honor to God the Father for eternity. Now, it is impossible for man to define the grace of God. It is impossible for man to fully understand the grace of God. But praise God, it is not impossible for man to accept the grace of God. It is God's gift. And the only way we receive a gift is like a child. Children know how to receive a gift. They smile and they accept it. They take it. And man is simply to receive God's grace with faith and thanksgiving from the He who gives it. That is salvation. John 1:12 tells us, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, which were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And those of us who have been delivered from this present evil world, now we should see the world in two ways. First, we should view the world for what it did to our Savior. And second, we should view the world for what our Savior did for the world. The first should have us recoiling with horror and loathing from taking part or practice in the sins of the world that put our Savior to death in the cruelest of ways. The second should start a fire within our hearts, a love within us that sends us out to give other people the message of the gospel, for whom Christ died. And this comes with an obvious obligation for the believer. And that is, for those who follow Christ, we need to live separated lives. Too many are happy to mix with this group who preach not the truth of the gospel. Mix with that group. Hang around with this. Oh, it's all right. They're pretty close to the same as us. Oh, baptism saves babies. No, it doesn't. It may wash them, it doesn't save them. Oh, listen, you take the Lord's Supper. You're drinking the real body and blood of Christ. No, you're not. It's done in remembrance only. Oh, listen, you're saved. You're one of a special little group of people. No, you're born again. It's the only way. The gospel's for whosoever. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer to that is no. Yet far too many believers, the walk that they walk is so taken up with conforming to the world that they are neglecting being transformed by their Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 12:1 and 2, every believer should know it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least a believer should do. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is, that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, as believers in the true gospel, those saved by the grace of God, we need to make sure we don't become prisoners of the very thing that we've been set free from. We once walked according to the course of this world, but now as believers we live for another world to come. You know, 2 Timothy 2:4 tells us, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. Listen, when we accepted Christ as a Saviour, we joined his army. We're not to be in the other camp. We're not to be in the world's army. We're in the Lord's army. And Paul says in Galatians 1, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. You see, the glory belongs to God. And Paul is contemplating the amazing love of God in Christ that redeems the lost sinner back to God. Now listen, I'm sure Paul in his life had regrets about how he treated people, how he treated Christians, how he treated God's church, about things he did. He admitted himself as the chief of all sinners, but not, and he now relishes his position in Christ. The position in Christ where he has been redeemed and forgiven through the love and grace of God. Now, do we relish the same thing? I'm sure we could all look back and say, man, I certainly was up there. I was at least a lieutenant of sinners. But do we relish where we are now? Redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. Set free from the bondage of law and works. To live and honour and to serve our great God. Do you know that many denominations teach that Christ died so God could love us? But no. Christ died because God does love us. You know, John 3:16 and 17 is the truth of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's the truth of the gospel. Now, verses 6 and 7 of Galatians 1, we see the lie of the false gospel. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul, he's amazed. He's absolutely astounded that anyone who had received the grace of God could ever think of departing from that marvelous grace. Grace which gives liberty of soul and spirit. How could anyone who has truly and really known the gospel of God's grace, how could they turn from it? How could they be led to legalism that contradicts and nullifies all that the death of Christ has achieved for them? And it would do us as true believers a great deal of good to be more concerned over the danger to souls who give way to works of self-righteousness. And these Galatian believers were given much attention to the false teaching of these Judaizers that it seems they're ready to go back to the law. They were ready to follow another gospel, which is not another. They were removing themselves from the pure gospel of God's grace to another message that was not the true gospel at all. And this is where they find themselves. See, there is only one way, and that's Christ's way. There is no other. And the lie of the false gospel is that you need to go back to the law. You need to mix the law with grace. Do you know, as I was reading and studying for this, it had been said at this time, and the Galatians had written nearly 70 gospels. Isn't that amazing? Nearly 70. They weren't genuine gospels. They had either added or taken away from the message of the true gospel, and this is what they were turning to. You see, the message of the good news of salvation by grace through faith alone was being changed. And we see that same thing today with many perverted Bible revisions that are on offer in bookstores today. The definition of a man and woman has been replaced to them and they. I was talking the other day with someone. Do you know there's a Queen James Bible? I couldn't believe it. A Queen James Bible. I didn't even want to have a look at it, but I thought I better have a bit of a look. It edits out all sin in reference to same-sex relationships. It's all gone. In fact, it states that King James was transgender. You can come to my office, the chair's broken, I fell off it. The message, Eugene Patterson. Churches that once were foundational and fundamental are using that in their pulpits instead of the Word of God itself. And we see all too much in our day today, all too many Christians, they're being changed, as Ephesians 4:14 tells us, around by every wind of doctrine. Do you know, a faith that's not tightly gripped is easily dropped. How could anyone who has drunk deeply of the riches of Christ, of His love, so easily fall away from that and take hold of legalism again? The question is, have they truly ever been gripped by the truth and grace of Jesus Christ? One man wrote, "Deceivers would make less spoil of the faith if believers found more spoil in it." Isn't that true? "Doubt preys on him who does not pray, for prayers keep the verities of faith fresh and green in our experience. There would be less falling from the Lord if there were more calling on the Lord." And that's the truth. And the searching question that we need to ask, or we should be asking, would there not be less wandering from the truth of Jesus if we had a bit more wonder at the love of our Saviour? And shouldn't we proclaim the truth of the gospel? Shouldn't we not stand firm against those who our text says there in Galatians 1:7 would pervert the gospel of Christ? Those who take away by grace through faith and not of yourselves. Those who want to take away from us the gift of God. You see, a gift comprises three things. One, there must be a giver. That's God himself. Two, there must be a receiver, and that's those who want to accept the gift. But the gift is the most important, and that gift was the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Satan's on the job. The world wants us to think that that's just a joke these days. But when Jesus taught the parable of the tares among the wheat, he said an enemy has done this. And that same enemy is still sowing tares. He hates the gospel of God's grace. And just as sure as God has his ministers and his churches, the devil has his churches and his ministers. Just as God has his servants, the devil has his. And the churches in Galatia, there, the devil's disciples were preaching another gospel. Not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the gospel of the grace of God. Thirdly, the preaching of the true gospel. Verses 8 and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What was the preaching of the true gospel that Paul's talking about? It was the announcing of the good news. That preaching, that word means to evangelize, to proclaim, to declare. What do we declare? 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. That's what he did. You see, sinners are saved by grace through faith, not by works. But false teachers everywhere today and in Galatia at that time were preaching that believers could not be saved by faith alone, but they had to add to that their own good works in obedience to the law of Moses. They were teaching that a believer could not be kept saved except by works in obedience to the same law, that law of Moses. Now, 1 Peter tells me, I am kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through the manifold temptation. We're kept by the power of God. We don't keep ourselves. We're not kept by keeping the law. We're not kept by doing good works. We're kept by God's power. That's resurrection power. See, that we sometimes forget there's power in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has given to every believer the power of his Spirit. And we need to live in that and to walk in that. We need to love and relish that power. And allow it to move us and to lead us to do what God wants us to do, not think what we can do for him. There's not one thing any believer can do to make their salvation any better or any worse. If you're saved, you're saved. Sinners are saved by grace through faith, not by works. If we look and listen to some of the preaching that's going on today, we will see and hear this same heresy being promoted today as it was to the Galatians. You see, many preach grace, grace, marvelous grace. Then they command the people to practice certain do's and don'ts. And if they don't do the do's and if they don't stop the don'ts, then they're going to be damned and lost. But God's word declares to us in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Why? Which was shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Listen, does that mean we get saved and we just sit in a pew and wait to go to heaven? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We become his witnesses to this lost world. We serve him out of love for what he's done for us. Not out of works to try and make ourselves right. Not to make ourselves feel better, but because of what he did for us. See, the problem here isn't between one teacher or another. It's between the truth and a lie. And too many today are swept away by the brilliance or the reputation of some of these false teachers. The way they act, the way they look. I think I've shared before, I read in an article I had once. I've still got it, I just have to dig it out and find it. It was one of the modern day charismatic preachers, and he said, quote, "When the people see a Rolls Royce up the driveway of my mansion, they'll know there's a God." That's a true quote. One preacher coming out of his driveway was stopped and questioned. There was news reporters there, and they said, "Oh, do you think you should be driving a $200,000 Mercedes?" And they'd been to some of the orphanages they were supposed to support, and I tell you, it's disgusting. I got it on video. They're pinching children to make them cry. That's the truth for the cameras. And this preacher says, "What do you want me to drive, a Honda?" That's incredible, isn't it? And yet here they are trying to tell people if they just have enough faith, they can have everything they want in the world. And they stand up in front of people in their $2,000 suits, dripping with jewelry, telling people if you had enough faith, you could be just like them. I tell you what, that didn't save John Huss, did it? He had faith. He was cut up, chopped up, and thrown in the Rhine River because of his faith. They burned him at a stake, but that wasn't good enough. They took the rest of him down, chopped him up, and threw him in the water. Not because of a lack of faith, but because he had true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the grace of God that saved him took him all the way through. You know, the only thing they did to him was send him to the Lord and to be in his presence. What a great God. You see, I'm telling the kids on Friday night, you can change the label on a bottle of poison, but it doesn't change what's still in the bottle. Doesn't change what's still in the bottle. It's still poison. Poison will always be poison. And no one is as great as the gospel they preach or pervert. No man gives authority to the truth. It is the truth that gives authority to man. And no matter how great a name is, it is powerless to change the nature of truth. It'll be a very, very sad day when we begin to dread the scorn of a scholar more than we love the souls of sinners. God pity the preacher who puts the denomination ahead of the grace of God. God pity the preacher who puts the program of the church before the grace of God. You see, preachers are commanded to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the grace of God as the way to salvation, to declare the whole counsel of God. They're told to study and rightly divide the word of truth, and may God have mercy upon those who wrongly handle God's truth. Paul says in verse 10 of Galatians 1, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Now there's another one of those statements. We looked last Sunday afternoon, didn't we? You know, to deny yourselves, take up your cross and follow me. And we saw that taking up the cross just didn't mean giving up and counting the cost. It meant, hang on a minute, we've got our own sin we have to deal with, because that's what the cross dealt with, amen, was sin. And here's another one. If we want to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, Paul's simply asking a question here. Am I seeking to please men, or am I seeking to please God? Am I seeking man's favour or God's favour? If I were pleasing men, then I cannot please God. And you know what that means? I cannot be a servant of Christ. And the word servant there in verse 10 actually means bondservant or bondslave. See, at one stage, Paul lived to please men. But since the Lord saved him, and he knew the Lord was his leader, and that he was nothing more than a bondslave for Christ, that's what he gloried in. See, that's the right kind of pride. You see, a slave has only one person to please, one thing to do, and that is the will of their master. And Paul's enemies said he was after man's favour, that he desired to please men, but Paul replied, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Do you know the truth is, whom we seek to please shows who pleases us. And the more Christ pleases, the more earnestly shall we seek to please him in all we say, do, and think. Colossians 3:17 says to us, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by him. You know, I'm pretty sure you're the same as you find the same thing that I find, that the closer we draw to Christ, the sweeter our walk with him is. And the more repulsive any suggestion that we compromise with sin, that we conform to a world that's at war with God, that we try to change from a true gospel to a false gospel, that it will just horrify us. You see, no one is going to be transformed by a gospel that is tailored to suit and fit in with the times and tastes of the multitudes. You know, we need to keep away from a watered-down gospel that's wanting to meet the felt needs of the people. What the people need is Christ. And they will never know that truth while their flesh is being appealed to. You see, too many want their pride flattered instead of having it flattened. And we will never further the cause of Christ if we tone down the message of Christ to suit the means of man. You know, when we are tempted to tone down God's message with man's words, we need to start to tune up the words of our Saviour. Who are we trying to please? Whose favour are we seeking? Is it God's or man's? You know, we're told if we're trying to please men, we cannot please God. It's interesting, we all know Jesus never satisfied all the people. Never. Some praised him, others pierced him. Some blessed him, others blasphemed him. Some honoured him, others dishonoured him. And you know what? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Those who preach the true gospel will be appreciated by some, but hated by many. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we pleasing man? Or are we pleasing God? What have we been persuaded by through the wonderful grace of God? that come at no cost to us, but at the cost an unimaginable amount to our Heavenly Father and His Son. Who do we seek to please? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to us today. And as we go through this short but sharp little epistle, Lord, we pray that Your grace would abound into our lives as we see the wonderful blessing we have through the salvation that You have paid for through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You and praise You. And once again, Lord, we pray for those families in Hawaii at the moment from our church. And we just ask for their safety. And for those, Lord, who couldn't be with us today, Lord, just help them to overcome the illnesses they may have and the struggles that they face. Lord, we're grateful to You for all You have done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.